The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Monday, December 16th. Field and Matthew to recap. Week 15, we are almost on to championships in fantasy football. What a weird feeling that is. It flies by every
year. It really does, and it's one of those things that, I feel like every Monday it's just like, what a weird week, but this was a weird week.
It was a weird week.
In terms of sort of some big name guy. I mean, there were like some crazy performances, some week-winning performances.
Yeah.
From, you know, some guys you expect, like right. Lamar Jackson, and some guys you don't, like Kenyon Drake.
Right, yeah.
And no one expected 4 touchdowns.
The Cardinals tweeted to start him.
I can't wait for that.
Have you been blocked by them yet or not?
I have not, surprisingly. Wow, I have impressive. Not. I'm amazed.
Can we just have a moment? Like, do we need to send that one to the graveyard? Like,
no,
they
I
had
have
a good
to figure
run.
Out. I have a tweet. I have a tweet planned.
Okay.
You know, I do
gotcha.
A tweet every week.
What if I have a tweet planned?
I'll run it by you. I feel like I might have one last tweet in me. We'll see.
One more?
I'm going to run it by you. Okay. You're my social media manager.
Old habits do tend to die hard, so perhaps this one will get one more run of it. But for those who missed it, the Cardinals actually won a football game.
How about that? Their first one since they trolled fantasy managers.
That was karma right there.
Many, many years ago. They are now 1-6 since trolling fantasy managers.
You mess with the fantasy bowl, you get the horns.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Certainly lots to get to after Sunday's action and Thursday night.
And I wanted to apologize to you, by the way, Field. I wanted to formally apologize to you.
What was it for?
I took, over the weekend,
yeah.
I took my daughters to see Elf on the Shelf, the musical.
Oh, how was
and
that?
I meant to take you as well. And I just feel bad. I just don't want you to feel left out that I did that without you. So I just wanted to apologize.
Yeah, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
I drank some Bud Lights on Saturday, so I figured that I turned out okay.
Uh-huh.
It was solid. Yeah.
Were we, really?
Bud Lights?
Bud Lights?
Every once in a while.
Wow.
Once in a while. Yeah, I'm like Marcus Peters, baby.
Take a walk on the wild side.
Yeah, every once in a while. You got to go back to your roots.
I could have used a couple of those Bud Lights at Elf on the Shelf, the musical. I'll tell you that much.
Was it a long day?
No, you know what? Listen, honestly, my girls loved it, which was the point. Right. They absolutely loved it. It's a cute show. It's a very cute show. You wouldn't think they'd be able to get 2 hours out of Elf on the Shelf.
Right. I thought
but
it was
they got 2 hours
right?
out of an Elf on the Shelf.
You know what?
It was actually very cute. They did a nice job with it. And like I said, the important thing is my daughters absolutely loved it.
That's one of those things. Like, I know of the existence of the Elf on the Shelf and I sort of understand or I sort of know what the concept is, but my knowledge is not granular.
Oh,
so
let me
I'll take
you.
I'm not asking for the granular.
No, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to granular. I'll just very quickly. The idea is that the Elf on the Shelf obviously comes from Santa. He comes from the North Pole.
Yes.
And he sits on
is
your
it
shelf.
He? Okay. He
or she. There are girl elves. There are boy elves.
Right.
But the Elf on the Shelf.
I watch the movie Elf a lot.
I've
watched segments of the movie Elf. I would conservatively.
You've seen the entire movie of Elf?
No. Let me just. 6 to 8 times started watching the movie, like at some point of it over the past week. Like it's always on TV during the time of the year.
Yes,
so
yes,
I'm not
yes,
saying
yes.
I've watched it in, you know, totality 6 to 8 times, but I've watched like between 15 minutes and an hour of Elf 6 to 8 times over the past week.
It is an all-timer. Random Matthew Berry trivia is that back when I used to be a Hollywood writer, I actually did a movie project with the guys that produced that movie. But Elf on the Shelf, Elf on the Shelf, I was just going to say, so the basic idea is that the Elf on the Shelf, there are male and female elves.
Okay.
But the Elf on the Shelf, the elf comes to your house to sit on the shelf to watch your children, to determine whether whether your children are naughty or nice.
Okay.
And every night, the Elf on the Shelf flies back to the North Pole to report to Santa.
Wow. No wonder he's in such great
shape.
What? The elf stays in great shape that way.
The elf stays in amazing shape. And so when your children go to bed, that's when the elf leaves. And then the elf comes back. And usually when the elf comes back the next day, the elf is in a different position.
Gotcha.
So when the kids go to bed, the elf might be somewhere in the house. And then when they wake up in the morning, the elf has moved because they've gone off to do their, they've gone off to give their report on whether the children have been naughty or nice.
We are 9 days away from Christmas. Yep. Not to spoil anything, but would you say in your conversations with the elf, have your daughters been naughty or nice?
A little bit of a split vote.
Does that mean like your interpretation is different than Beth's, or does that mean that like one of the girls has been better than the other? Don't answer that question.
I'm not.
Don't answer.
To.
Let's talk about the Vikings running backs.
Yes,
very
non-confrontation.
That is sort of a split vote. For those who missed it, Dalvin Cook left the game yesterday against the Chargers, and it was brutal. Cook was on 69.8%, or it was on a playoff roster in 69.8% of leagues, the second most popular player in fantasy this year behind only Christian McCaffrey. And Dalvin Cook leaves this game yesterday.
I have Dalvin Cook on a number of playoff teams, and I think, barring a miracle tonight, I'm going to lose at least three of the playoffs that I had Dalvin Cook on, including in the Super Heel League, the Agbo Super Heel League. Miles Teller! Miles Teller is going to beat me thanks to my Dalvin Cook.
Cook leaves the game yesterday, and it was clear.
It looked bad.
Just like the shoulder injury against Seattle on Monday night a couple of weeks ago. Now, he goes right to the medical tent, does not return to the game. And so here's the positive spin. The positive spin is that that injury against Seattle looked bad, and he returned the following week.
Sure.
Now, the negative spin is that, like, this is the second time this has happened. Like, how can we feel confident that it's not going to get worse? Dalvin Cook might be out for next week. So let's imagine a world in which he is. Next man up, presumably Alexander Mattison, right?
Except
he didn't practice at all last week.
No,
he was
inactive for this game. So Mike Boone,
that's right,
who was a star in the preseason, 41 for 196, two touchdowns in the preseason. He had three catches for 57 yards. Look, now, I will say a lot of that came on two big plays. This is all preseason, right? He had a 64-yard touchdown rush. He had a 45-yard catch. Having said that, though, Mike Boone comes in, plays well, 13 carries, 56 yards, two touchdowns. I know there were a lot of people that were wondering. I know as people in the fantasy industry, myself included, were looking who's going to be Dalvin Cook's backup. Because we all expected the Vikings to be able to run the ball effectively given the way they'd ended the previous year with Kevin Stefanski and how they wanted to run the ball, the addition of Gary Kubiak to the coaching staff.
Right.
And so the thought process was, and hey, knowing Dalvin Cook's injury history, whoever Dalvin Cook's backup is going to have real potential fantasy value. And so there was a lot of, should it be Mike Boone? Should it be Alexander Mattison? It ended up being Alexander Mattison that won that backup role. But make no mistake, they like Mike Boone quite a bit. He's a talented young player. And I don't think Field, you know, and I know you write the waiver wire column for us, our free agent finds.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious how you tackled this in your column this week because
I copped out.
Right. We're not going to know by the time waivers runs, we're not going to know, is Dalvin Cook going to play on Sunday? And is
Monday
Alex,
night, actually.
Monday night, right.
One extra day.
Well, it
but
does
also hurts.
It doesn't. Right.
It does because he has an extra day to heal, but it does not because let's say you're choosing between a Vikings running back and somebody else that plays on Sunday at one, plus you have three games on Saturday. A lot of stuff here.
So you're not going to know whether Alexander Mattison is going to play or not this week. And
here's
so
the play, then. Here's
and,
the play.
And they're both available more than 50% of leagues.
That's right. So here's what I would do. Obviously next week there's going to be just two players playing in every league, right?
Sure.
Every person that is playing in a final should be putting in a waiver claim on either of those running backs. I would do it on both, to be honest with
you. I agree.
I would enter a waiver claim on both players if they're available.
Sure.
And so that means that you know, if you're lucky, you get both of them, and then you just wait for Monday night, and if Mattison is healthy and he plays, you play Mattison. If he's unhealthy and you have Mike Boone, I think that's like a top 20 or so running back option for next week.
Yep. They play the Packers on Monday night.
Correct. Worst case scenario, though, is that you play defense on somebody else, right? Like, just play defense. And so if you're the underdog in your league, which you might be because the person who had Dalvin Cook had a good season, then you're going to have top, and theoretically, you're going to have top waiver priority unless someone who's out of it adds him for some silly reason.
Now, I will say two things real quickly about sort of championship week perception. Number one, I just want to address this. Unless there is something to play for in your, a lot of people are like, well, if you're out of the playoffs, should you make waiver claims? And my take on this is no, you should still set a lineup. You should still try to, you know, sort of play it out, but you should not make a waiver claim unless there's something to play for.
Yeah.
If there's something to play for, like there's a consolation, there's a prize for the consolation bracket, even if you're playing to avoid last place, a last place punishment, all that's fine. In that scenario, then you make moves. Yep. But if you have quote unquote nothing to play for, you don't make moves. And this should be a rule in every league. You don't make moves unless you are playing in a game in which there is something at stake.
Correct. So if you have consolation bracket, which there's something at stake.
Right. Or a third place game. Sometimes there's money for a third place game.
If you have a league where if you don't lose, or like the loser faces punishment and you're in that game, the last place punishment.
Right, so you're trying not to finish last. Exactly. Yeah. We agree here. But otherwise, no. Leave the players for the other people that are playing, okay? The other piece of this that I will say is that in the championship wake, especially more than anything, like your roster, you no longer have to keep backups of healthy players, right? Like,
so for example, tight ends, et cetera.
100%. Like everyone on your roster should be one of two players. It should be a player that you're actually going to start this week.
Or his handcuff.
No, it's a player he's going to start this week or somebody you're trying to keep from your opponent.
Okay.
So my point is when you say handcuff, like for example, I have a couple of teams with Todd Gurley. And I've been carrying Malcolm Brown all year long.
Right.
Well, unless news comes out in the next 24 hours that Todd Gurley got banged up and we're not aware of it, because it didn't appear as if he did.
He looks
100% healthy. I'm going to drop Malcolm Brown because I've got 1 week left, not counting the leagues where I've got a
week 17,
right? So ESPN. But for the leagues that end in week 16, I'm in a final where I have Gurley and the championship ends in week 16, the league ends in week 16. I'm going to drop Malcolm Brown.
Right.
Because I no longer need Gurley's handcuff. I'm playing Gurley one more week.
Correct.
Right.
Agreed.
So that's
all
my
that.
Point is, yep. is, but we are both, I think, in
fantasy
agreement.
Fantasy gamesmanship.
Yep. We are both in agreement that I am totally okay with if you have a higher waiver priority and the guy you're playing in the championship has Dalvin Cook, I got no problem with you going to grab Boone or Madison from that guy.
Correct. That would be exactly what I'd be angling to do. Again, waivers run tomorrow night.
Right.
We probably won't have all the information we need on either Cook or Madison that impacts Mike Boone.
But again, I'm only okay with the defense if you've got something to play for. Like if you and I were playing in a final and
you would do it.
Right.
Yep.
But if I'm just like in fifth place, then I wouldn't do it because then that's bad.
We got to move on, but one update. Chapin just texted me to say, I'm actually thankful that Matthew explained Elf on the Shelf because like you, I was not entirely aware of how it works. So look at you. You are educating the masses,
there
including
you go.
The lovely masses up in Massachusetts.
Thank you, Chapin.
Yeah. Thank you.
By the way, we had to, our elf is named Gary.
Okay.
So Gary the Elf. But after we saw Elf on the Shelf, my daughters were very worried that Gary was lonely.
Oh.
So we had to buy Gary a girlfriend,
right,
and a pet. So so we have Peppermint.
Oh,
so
it's a pet. I hope.
No. Peppermint is the girl.
The
girl's named her Peppermint. We call her Pepper for short.
Oh, I like that.
And so it's Gary and Pepper, and then Gumball is the reindeer. We bought a reindeer
named Gumball.
This is all my daughters did this. So there you go. So we've got a whole Elf on the Shelf family.
I haven't had a gumball in about 15 years.
At the Barry household.
All right. So there were some players that were duds yesterday. And should you be concerned or should you throw it away or should you be crying this morning because they cost you a championship opportunity because of yesterday's outing? Julian Edelman has been on the injury report for like six straight weeks, it feels like. Maybe even longer than that. It's been a long time. He's been banged up and he keeps playing and he keeps producing. Until this week when he missed practice on Wednesday and that was maybe an indicator that this was a little bit different than where he had been in previous weeks. And yesterday, he played just 40 snaps for the Patriots, much lower than his normal total. So it's clear, Matthew, that from a health standpoint, he was not where he has been in recent weeks. And then from a production standpoint, it was also the case. Two catches for 9 yards for Edelman. He actually entered week 15 as Tristan Cockcroft's third most consistent wide receiver, a dud yesterday. You concerned going into week 16 if you survived?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit too.
Only because...
Now they play the Bills.
The health.
And the health.
I mean, right. Yeah. So it's a tough matchup with the Bills. And listen, Tre'Davious White doesn't go into the slot. And Edelman's so talented. But, like, it's not an ideal matchup here. He's clearly not 100% healthy. I don't know that you have a ton of confidence that he's going to get 100% healthy by next Sunday.
Yep.
So, yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. I mean, so it would depend on your depth.
So he's been like a top 5 to 6 wide receiver in a lot of weekly rankings for me. I can't imagine moving him outside my top 20, absent getting new information this week where he is severely limited by injury. But yeah, of course you're a little bit concerned because it was week 15, but I think just in terms of like, does it change his lineup status for you? Probably not. And I don't So that's sort of the theme here. It's like, are you moving these players out of your lineup? And the same question can be posed for Tyler Boyd, who had three catches.
I have I'll tell you, I have a dilemma in a final that I'm playing in next week.
Okay.
Here, I have four wide receivers, and it's a super flex league, so I can play two or three. But listen to this.
Okay.
So I've got Edelman.
Yep.
Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. They both play the 49ers next week.
So that's tough.
I understand, but I'm just saying, so I've got Edelman against Buffalo. I've got my little Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods against San Francisco. And then I've got Michael Gallup against the Eagles. But Gallup coming off of a poor game as well.
Right, yeah.
Very poor game.
My lean is still Edelman there, but still it's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Let's rip through the next few here.
And because he was an every week starter up, you know. So it's interesting.
This includes, next one here is Tyler Boyd. Three catches for 26 yards. Yesterday against the Patriots. He's got at least six targets in 13 of his 14 games this season. I don't know specifically how many plays he was covered by Stephon Gilmore, but right where it's due, man, enough. Because that dude, to me, and I don't even know if he'll win the award because A, it's a deep field, and B, cornerbacks are tougher to make the candidacy for because they don't pile up stats in ways that other positions do, but
sure.
I think Stephon Gilmore is the best defensive player in football this year right now. I mean, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a short list.
Him and the TJ Watts and the Tre'Davious Whites of the world, those are some of the names that are at least in the conversation. But yesterday, Josh Norman just made the cut. I think Tyler Boyd got Stephon Gilmore yesterday. I mean, that's part of it.
I mean, that's what it is. You look at the schedule, they play Miami next week. Yeah. They're at the Dolphins,
who have
struggled. Among many areas that they've struggled, they really struggle against the slot. So, Tyler Boyd, I'm sure Tyler Boyd's going to be on the love list this week, actually.
So let's keep things rolling here. Kenny Golladay, 3 for 44 for the Lions. David Blau, again, starting. This was a game that kind of just got thrown away from the beginning when they went down big. But against the Bucs, you had high hopes for Kenny Golladay.
Well, and Denny Amendola had a huge game here.
He did, so, 29 targets over the past 3 weeks.
It's not that they weren't able to throw the ball. Look, the Lions got up to a big lead, and then they sort of made a comeback.
Right.
And, it was a little nerve-wracking there. This one was a weird one to me. I mean, the guy's had one end zone target of his last five games. He's had no more than four catches in six of the last seven. Having said that, I think you have to sort of bank on the talent and what you expect the target share to be. It's a weird one. When you can't do it against Tampa Bay, you don't have a lot of confidence. And
right. It
was their first game without Marvin Jones. And so what does this offense look like without Marvin Jones? And are teams able to focus more on Kenny Golladay? So a little bit nervous, especially because they're on the road at Denver next week. And,
sure.
You know, what do you think about, David Blau on the road at Denver, which should be a cold weather, potentially bad weather game? My guess is Kenny Golladay I haven't done my rankings yet. My guess is Golladay still makes my top 20, but not my top 10.
Yeah, I'd say that's about fair as well. You know what's weird is the Lions have not put Matthew Stafford on IR, which may be just a sort of a deference and respect thing. But if there's even like a remote possibility that they're doing so because maybe he returns this season, that would be kind of interesting. Certainly would help the value.
Definitely.
Of Kenny Golladay. Robert Woods, 4 for 17 yesterday. Talk about a flattening performance. The Rams got just decimated by the Cowboys yesterday. The Cowboys look like the team that Jerry Jones has been telling us about for like 6 months now, but I'm not concerned about Robert Woods here. Matthew, just a bad game. I know it's a tough spot for a bad game, but his lowest point total of the season, and as we know, the targets have been there for Robert Woods. It's just been the touchdowns that were fleeting for him up until last week.
Just to play devil's advocate for a second, because I generally agree with you.
Okay.
But to play devil's advocate for a second, okay.
I know you're going to say San Francisco.
It's a couple of things. So first off, yes, not only San Francisco next week, but at San Francisco.
Goff has been better.
But Goff
no
is
Richard
no. Listen, their defense has been
Williams,
their defense has been pretty beat up. I mean, look, we just saw Julio Jones, go off against
the
49ers, right? But I guess my concern is that how much confidence do you have in, forget Robert Woods for 1 second, but just in the Rams' offense? The Rams offense on the road at San Francisco, a 49ers team that needs to win next week. Like this was losing to Atlanta was a bad loss for them as well. Like as they try to chase down the number one seed and even the division title, right? And so that's a bad loss for them. It's the Rams offense, just when you think they figured it out, they have a game like this where they just look lost. And so Woods, who has had six single-digit performances this year. Now, he was a top 20 wide receiver for the 4 weeks prior to this game. But still, again, devil's advocate, they're on the road where Goff plays poorly. They're against the 49ers. Even a banged up 49ers defense is still better than most defenses in the NFL.
That's fair. Yeah, fair. Yeah, I'm not as concerned. I will just say this. Thank you, Sean McVay, because yesterday, when that game was well out of hand, McVay kept his studs in there. There were probably a lot of fantasy championship opportunities that were earned because of all the garbage time yesterday from the Rams. Same game, other side, though.
Yeah, listen, and by the way, Tyler Higbee continues to be...
We'll talk about him more a little bit later on the show, but he has been...
I didn't look at the rundown.
Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup yesterday combined for 25 yards on two catches. You mentioned Gallup's poor performance earlier on in the show, but the schedule seems good, right? I mean, at the
Sorry,
Eagles,
America. I put Gallup on the love list. I really thought they'd be able to move the ball.
You have your days.
Yeah.
But Cooper and Gallup, any concern there against the Eagles next weekend, or do you think you'll probably rank them understanding the talent is there? And listen.
It's the Eagles.
It's the Eagles.
I mean, one of the worst secondaries in the NFL, and they really struggle against perimeter wide receivers, which is where, obviously, Cooper and Gallup line up. So I think full steam ahead for both guys. Just one of those bad games. You prefer Cooper to Gallup, but both guys should be top 20 plays next week.
Sure. So Adam Thielen returned yesterday, played just 50% of the snaps for the Vikings, three catches for 27 yards. This is a curious one. So I think it's a simple rankings adjustment next week for Adam Thielen. It's something like, rather than a top 15 play, he's probably a top 25 play for me, because we don't know how many snaps he's going to play, presumably more, because he'll not only have played a game, but he'll have an extra day of rest, Monday Night Football. And then beyond that, it's still Adam Thielen. Like, it's Adam freaking Thielen. Like, he could have 100 yards and a touchdown. It wouldn't stun you at all.
Yeah, and it wasn't a game in which they needed to...
They didn't need it.
They didn't need to score or throw a lot. You know, they got it big in this game fairly easily. Tough game for the Chargers. Tons of turnovers. Next week, they are at home, which I think will play to Thielen's strength.
Sure.
I mean, I think their whole offense, especially their passing offense, but honestly, all of it, performs better on the turf at home than it does, you know, on the road in Los Angeles, for example. And by the way, if Dalvin Cook misses, like we both like, whether it would be Madison or Boone or some combination, we think they'll run the ball effectively, but maybe they lean a little bit more on the passing game here. And so, you know, in a tough game with the Packers on Monday night, that'll be a great game.
Can't wait.
But it will, and it's going to be on ESPN, of course, because I'm a company man. I think I'm with you, but I will say this. Again, I haven't done my rankings yet. I know you haven't either. But I bet when I go, I would be surprised if when I do all my projections and I sort of break down everything, I think I'll have Stephon Diggs higher than Adam Thielen.
Yeah, I think so as well. Diggs didn't have a monster day yesterday, but he got you double-digit fantasy points, which was good enough given how many duds there were.
And he had, like, a big play that was called back that, like, he missed, like, he got half a toe. It was, like, half a toe on the sideline, which would have been another, like, 3 points or something like that. Yeah.
Philip Lindsay, last one here, Matthew. 32 rushing yards, zero in the passing game from Philip Lindsay. And I get it. It was snowy, but that didn't slow down the Chiefs' offense that much. It's just a hard backfield to figure out because Royce Freeman, I believe, played 52% of the snaps yesterday, whereas Lindsay played just 40% of the snaps.
Yeah, 40.4% of the snaps. It was weird because I'd actually had Lindsay as a love as well, and actually my love-hate list was pretty good. I had a couple of misses, I always do, but Lindsay was somebody that just because of the matchup, because of the usage, had seemed to be like, this should be a solid high-end flex, low-end RB2. This should be somebody that you could count on to get some touches given how poorly the Chiefs have played run defense and honestly just the usage of Lindsay. So this one was a weird one.
Yeah, it was a weird one. The stars seemingly aligned. I don't know, maybe just probably a byproduct of the offense not being as good as we thought it was over the past couple of weeks because of Drew Lock's hot start. Like, you know, it's an average offense. You're going to have some days like that. And the passing game involvement is the hardest part. It might be that, you know, they got down big early.
Very quickly.
And they didn't really bother with the screen game because they needed more chunk plays down the field. I don't know. Lindsay's still...
Also, by the way, credit the Chiefs. I mean, they were getting pressure on Lock.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may... I don't know this, but there's a chance maybe that they feel like Freeman's the better blocker. And so, like, under heavy rush, and so they, you know, they wanted just Freeman and more, you know, just try to help fortify the offensive line versus, you know, trying to do dump offs because they've been using Freeman more in the passing game.
Sure,
but
either
way, this one was a tough one. They play Detroit next week. I think Lindsay is right back to, I'm not worried about
flex
that one
for me.
Yeah, it's exactly. They're at home against the Lions next week against Daniels terrible Lions.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, and growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And by using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones than find the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen said she was honestly surprised she found qualified applicants so quickly and hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So high stakes, no risk it, no risk it in week 15. And if you risked it on Tyler Lockett, who was actually started in nearly 69% of leagues, nice job by everybody that did start him. He had a monster day. 8 catches for 120 yards plus a touchdown. He had 8 catches for 107 yards without a touchdown in the 4 games prior to this, Matthew.
And you know what I would like to do?
What would you like to
do? I may take a moment.
Sure, go ahead.
I may just address the people watching at home, the people that watch us on ESPN's YouTube channel, ESPN Fantasy's Facebook page, on the ESPN app, or, of course, at Fantasy Focus there on the Twitter. If you're watching this, what I've done is I've turned directly to camera 3.
Okay.
Which is our main camera. I've turned directly to camera 3. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to salute those of you with the cojones to start Tyler Lockett yesterday, because it was shaky ground. Like, I think we talked about this on the show. We talked about it. We certainly talked about it at the Star Wars show, the live show we did out at Dolby Soho.
All right.
Where we were, of course, celebrating the rise of Skywalker, Star Very Wars, cool. the yeah. The rise of Skywalker, opening this Friday, by the way. I'm a company man. But anyway, one of the questions was, do you trust Tyler Lockett? Because
right.
he had been so bad for so long. And I think we said yes, that I was more trusting than not. But certainly I got it if you wanted to bench him. But it was certainly a risk-reward play. And so if you risked it, and as we always say, no risk it, no risk it. If you risked it, you were rewarded, Field. It was an unbelievable performance, as you mentioned, 8 for 120 and a score, 26 fantasy points. Next week, Tyler Lockett gets the Arizona Cardinals.
So you certainly like the matchup, Matthew, but with Lockett, I'm not trying to ignore those
sure.
sorts of variables that do factor into fantasy value, but we have seen with this player, like under ideal circumstances, he has let you down. Under adverse circumstances, he's carried you. With Tyler Lockett, I think it truly is a matter of just what your gut feeling is that day. My gut feeling going into next week, factoring in what he did yesterday, the matchup, his quarterback, and the stakes, they're still now the number one seed in the NFC, that I would be playing Tyler Lockett. That would be my takeaway after what we saw yesterday.
So he scored 6 touchdowns this year in his 6 home games. The game is in Seattle next week. Yesterday, Kyle notes here, was his first road touchdown of the season. So for whatever reason,
he's been better at home,
and so that gives you some confidence as well. But yeah, I think the upside of Tyler Lockett, the talent and the matchup with Arizona, and as you mentioned, his quarterback, as good as there is in football right now, I think you're starting Tyler Lockett. I don't think you're, you know, listen, by the way, if you manage to get to this point, you know.
Bravo!
Bravo. So yeah, it was definitely a rocky road there with Tyler Lockett, and there is certainly risk. I wouldn't say just one good game out of the last 5 that you're out of the woods, but you certainly feel better today than you did on Saturday if you have Tyler Lockett on your roster.
Hard to bench him going into the finals after what he did yesterday. Anthony Miller would be tough to bench.
And I'm playing him in the finals,
him.
By the way, so you know he'll go off.
Anthony Miller, 75% available right now on ESPN.com. He makes the waiver wire column. There's a little bit of a preview for that, which will be out later on today. He's been a top 25 wide receiver in 3 of the past 4 weeks. He's got 52 targets over his past 5 games. It has not come at the cost of Allen Robinson, who's been very, very yeah. good for the Bears of late. He's got 6+ catches in 4 of his past 5 games. I'm sort of just reading you the argument. The argument is you need to be adding Anthony Miller and probably playing him this week.
dude, over the last 3 weeks, he's the fourth best wide receiver in fantasy, right? Yeah. He's at least 13 fantasy points in four straight. And some of it is because there's a couple reasons for it.
Okay.
I believe there are four reasons for it.
Yep.
Would you like to hear my four reasons?
Sure.
First off, Mitchell Trubisky.
Better.
Trubisky's been playing better. Offense has been better. They run the passing game is offense, but yes. So Trubisky has played better. The opportunity has been better. Taylor Gabriel has been hurt, yep. right? They've had some concussion protocol, right? Right. And there's some injury, you know, in the tight ends. They've had a lot of turnover. Turnover, thank you, at the tight end position. So there's just been a more narrow target tree there.
Now three.
Three is touchdown regression. Like, here's a guy that I think off the top of my head scored eight touchdowns last year.
Yep.
Like, and I don't think he hadn't scored any up until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, now he's
so
got
there's
him.
Now, right. So actually just, you know, sort of, regression to the mean.
Four.
And then four is he's a talented player.
Right. Second round pick last year for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think there, all those things are the reasons that this sort of coming into fruition here. And so, yeah, I'm a believer, especially by the way, because the Chiefs come to town next week. It's a Sunday night game next week.
Be a fun game.
Chiefs at Bears, right?
Sneaky fun game.
Unless you like whatever. I have Mahomes in the league that I'm playing against Tyler Lockett. I have Mahomes as my quarterback, and so
yeah, right. I think
on the road to Chicago, and we'll see. So I have a good team in that league. We'll see what happens. But the point is, that they struggle more against slot receivers than they do perimeter receivers. The Chiefs do.
Mm. Okay.
So yeah. Anyway, listen. He's, you know, you mentioned top 25 in three of the last 4 weeks. I think he's top 25 again this week. And certainly, if he's still available in your league, and considering he's 75% available, there's a chance he is.
Waiver wire column, baby.
Waiver wire, yes.
All right, let's just appreciate the stardom that is A.J. Brown. He was started in just 40.3% of leagues yesterday, which feels low. And if you were part of the people that are part of the group of people that have him but did not start him, I'm sorry. He had eight catches for 114 yards with a touchdown.
How would you not start him after last week? I understand the concern that the only knock on A.J. Brown was the volume.
My guess would be that you added him, it was somebody who added A.J. Brown because they've seen the encouraging performances recently, but they haven't. They didn't really trust him. Well, they didn't really need him. It was like, hey, listen, like I play in a league that like less than attentive managers also in the league. I'm going to grab him and just, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
You added him because you have two wide receiver leagues and you have a great flex. I don't know. There are scenarios where it makes a
I didn't play AJ Brown last week because I played DJ Moore and Kenny Galladay over him.
Well, that was a mistake.
Well, I just followed the rankings.
No, but I'm just saying. Like,
I just looked at the rankings and then I just put the guys in that were the highest.
But you're your own fantasy expert. I mean, you're a co-host on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. Like, people pay for your analysis.
Not for my
$5 a month.
That's not what they pay for when they're paying for me on that show, Matthew Berry.
What are they paying for? I'd like to know what you define that as. What do you think they pay for?
We all know what the moneymaker is. We all know.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Anytime Daniel wants to, Daniel takes off his shirt all the time on that show, and what Daniel's referencing. Yeah, just because we'll do a sketch, and we're like, why are you shirtless? And he's like, why am I not?
That's a good point.
He's very proud. He's got like, it's weird. So, Daniel Dopp has a dad bod, right?
I don't know about that.
I've seen a lot of it. Okay. I've seen a lot of it up close for a couple of years now, for three straight years. He has a dad bod. And here's the other thing. He's not a dad. That's the problem. I have a dad bod as well. Like, there's a reason you don't see me without my shirt.
Yeah, but you're like a level 7 dad bod. I'm like a level 2 dad bod.
Which is better?
I think.
What's that scale?
That's a great question.
It's just like first, second, and third degree burns.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you might be right. I just don't know. Like, is 7 means it's a better dad bod or it's a worse dad bod? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, usually the lower number is worse, but like.
I think you've been a dad bod for longer, so that's why you're a level 7.
I'm older than you, and I'm actually a dad.
Yes,
so I think
accurate.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You're not a dad.
I have
a dad bod.
I have an entry level dad bod. You have like an audiophile dad bod. That's what it is.
Audiophile dad bod.
Anyway, so I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's funny because again, I had kids and then I decided to get a dad bod. Right. But you know, Daniel went in the reverse.
Did you choose a lifestyle or did the lifestyle?
Yeah, he chose it. He's like, you know what, guys? I'm going to give this up.
Yeah.
I'm going to give up my rock hard abs and beautiful pectoral muscles.
Yeah. Pass that Pop Tart. I mean,
anyways, that's why I benched AJ Brown.
So dads everywhere thought about starting AJ Brown and then they decided not to. Those who are not dads, they just look like them. side of the bench, A.J. Brown.
Fair enough.
He's only the second active wide receiver with, this is sort of an obscure stat, but still, with three games of 110 receiving yards and a receiving touchdowns in weeks 12 to 17 of his rookie season, joining Odell Beckham Jr. Just here's again. Let's make this simpler.
That one was a Kyle special. Kyle sometimes likes to take you on a path.
Right. Yes.
It's like it's not really a stat so much as a long windy story.
Grab my hand. I'll take you down the road. We'll go there together. We can do it.
100%. You're like you're deep in the woods. He will paint you a picture. It's just like can we just get there? He's like no. I'm going to take the scenic route.
You know,
Kyle sometimes takes the scenic route on some stats.
If you challenge him, like here's on Twitter where it goes like no one blank, absolutely no one. Blank. I mean, absolutely nobody. Blank.
Right.
Kyle Soppy. Lamar Jackson's the most overrated player in fantasy football this year. And
consider it done. Here it comes.
Right.
Right. It's going to happen. Like, we'll have, 18 stats about how Lamar is not as efficient.
By kickoff tonight. Think.
Okay. That's, that's 100%. Impressive.
Here's what I will tell you about
AJ Brown.
Here's what you like about AJ Brown beyond the obvious, right? So, last 2 weeks, almost a 30% target share.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. By the way, has one of the hottest quarterbacks in the NFL throwing him the ball. He's scored in four straight here. But what I think is like one of the knocks on AJ Brown prior to this game was that he was big play dependent. He wasn't a guy that got a ton of targets. They didn't get a ton of looks. It's still a run heavy offense that's focused around Derrick Henry. But he was big play dependent, and so here's a guy that had like a 60-yard reception in three of the last four. He actually leads the NFL in terms of 50-yard receptions this season. And so without that volume, could he be somebody that you could count it on? Was he a weirdly, a Deshaun Jackson type, a boom or bust type, right? Yeah. And so, but in this one, where he has 8 for 114 and a touchdown. So, I mean, it wasn't just the big
volume's
play. It was
great.
The volume was there. And
by the
way,
we've had him in like the 20s for a wide receiver rankings.
Sure.
You can count on him being somewhere in the teens this upcoming week.
I got to tell you, he's going to be, I don't know if you think this way, I think he's going to be one of the toughest players to rank next year. Here's why.
I'm so not on to 2020 yet. But go ahead.
I already released my top 50 for 2020,
Isn't there some rule about hustling around here? Do we not have any integrity for the bylaws?
Yeah, listen,
I'm cursing up a storm over the weekend. You're writing a story.
By the way, did you guys see that? Like, that was so outrageous. I got a Venmo request from Field
Yates. It's not even just social media that he's good. He's just good at trolling you, man.
100%.
That's all that it is.
I'm like, I was lying on my couch watching TV with my kids, and all of a sudden my phone pops up, and it's a request from Venmo. Field Yates saying, Field Yates requests $3. It says, come on, you probably cursed some today. Tell the truth.
Was I right or wrong?
I paid you the $3, didn't I?
Yeah. You got a deal on that one. I'm sure $3 was over.
It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been.
Matthew's paying quarters on Fridays.
So,
yeah.
So I was just like, you got to be kidding me. But whatever. I paid the $3.
I'm trying to hold you accountable.
I paid the $3. By the way, as long as we talk about the swear jar, for 1 second, as long as we've derailed this. Do you want to announce? We've decided what we're going to do with the money we're raising for the swear jar, which is basically all my money.
Right.
Honestly,
yeah.
Maybe Daniel threw in a buck or two, but
I've made some contributions just for fun,
just for fun, not because you curse. But we've made a decision on what we're going to do with the money.
Yeah, so we're going to done, and it's not a totally substantial amount right now, but it could be by the end of the season if people just get sort of salary and all that. We're donating to ALS research. Recently lost Pete for the world lost Pete Frates recently. Yep. Pete was an incredible, incredible person whose legacy will live on far beyond just his time on this earth. He battled
100%.
ALS very nobly. You may know his name because he sort of championed and helped bring a ton of awareness to the ALS, the Ice Bucket Challenge, which went viral and became an incredibly impactful movement. Just a wonderful, wonderful person who did a lot more in his short time on this earth than I think most of us ever could even aspire to do, and perhaps a more prolonged time on this earth. So a small token of our appreciation for his work and all those that are battling just an incredibly debilitating disease that is far too prevalent right now. So ALS, coming your way.
And we'll figure, by the way, if anyone would like to join us, if anyone out there wants to join us in our little swear jar thing, we'll set up a page so that anyone on the 06010 in our 06010 family would like to donate if they would like to do. Anyway, all I was just going to say is that A.J. Brown, like, it's still going to be a run-first offense. Like, he's so talented. He's so talented.
Yeah.
Do they re-sign Ryan Tannehill?
And Derrick Henry.
Huh?
And Derrick Henry,
right.
He's a free agent, yeah.
Right. And I bet you, I think there's a better than average chance that one of them is not back with the Titans next year.
I think Tannehill's more likely to be back.
I was going to say, exactly. I think they don't pay Henry, and I think they do pay Tannehill. And if I was running the Titans, that's actually what I would suggest too.
Correct.
I always want players to get paid, but
running backs are tough to pay given the top of the market right now. Let's zip through here because Mike Williams had another big game for the Chargers yesterday. You kept waiting and waiting and waiting on Mike Williams to find the end zone. It's paid off because he's gone back-to-back games with a touchdown catch after zero touchdowns in the first 13 weeks of the season. He's got over 14 fantasy points in all three games since week 12. Has done enough, Matthew, to convince you he should be locked into your lineup?
Locked in is a strong phrase. I think he's wide receiver 3.
Okay.
Is what he is. He plays. He's home to Oakland next week, so you certainly like the matchup.
Yeah.
You might match up there, right? Since his week 12 bye, he's had at least 14 fantasy points in all three games. And as we sort of talked about with Anthony Miller, right, there's some touchdown regression coming, right? So no touchdowns for the first 13 weeks. He's now scored in back-to-back weeks. And so, one of the things that's interesting that, as we were sort of talking about duds, earlier in the show we were talking about sort of fantasy duds. One guy we didn't mention was Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
And so my expectation here is that it's one of those games. He fumbled twice. They got down big, whatever. And that next week, all sort of forgiven. And Melvin Gordon.
They'll go back to him.
They'll go back to
if
him.
They've been that dedicated to the cause of Melvin Gordon all season when Eckler's been way more productive. Got to figure they go back to Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, could you see a little bit more of a time split? Because I feel like the last couple of weeks, it's kind of been off the top of my head 65-35 Gordon to Eckler. Somewhere in there, 60-40, Gordon Eckler, and maybe it goes a little bit more 50-50. Eckler actually had more snaps than
yesterday,
Gordon
because
yesterday
fumbles,
because of the fumbles
Justin
and because
Jackson
they got down
played,
and they got down big. But the whole reason of bringing that up is maybe they try to pass a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more. Anyway, against Oakland, so whatever. He'll be somewhere in the 20 to 30 range for me when my rankings come out, Mike Williams. I think he's a wide receiver 3 this week.
I'll feel the same way about that. In just a moment, we're going to talk about a tight end who has maybe catapulted himself into elite territory. But first, a word from the Fantasy Show.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010. Fantasy, focus.
All right, cruising along here. We mentioned a tight end that has a chance to maybe catapult himself into the territory of being called an elite tight end for fantasy. It's Tyler Higbee. Matthew, you mentioned him a little while ago when you were discussing the Rams offense, and he's been on fire. He had 12 catches for 111 yards yesterday. And who cares if it was garbage time or not? They still count in fantasy football. And this is the continuation of a trend that we've seen recently from him.
Yeah. On Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, my bold call at the top of the show was Tyler Higbee is a top 3 fantasy tight end this week.
Yep.
And his consensus rank, I think, was tight end 9. And the interesting thing, Field, is that when I put that out on Twitter, some of the responses I got was like, agree, but not that bold a call.
Sure.
And maybe that criticism is fair, because I have to tell you, he now has 3 straight games with 7 or more catches and 100 receiving yards. The only tight ends to have done that over the last 15 seasons.
Right.
Travis Kelce in 2016, Jimmy Graham in 2011.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
I mean,
huh?
That's a hell of a list to be on. And not a swear.
Debatable.
I'm going to say that, he has Arizona in week 17. It's going to be interesting.
San Francisco and then Arizona.
San Francisco and then Arizona here. And so, it's going to be interesting to see what happens if and when Gerald Everett comes back, because I think Everett had some nice moments there earlier in the year.
Yep.
But to the eye test, and maybe it's recency bias, but I feel to the eye test, Tyler Higbee is a different player. I just feel like he's
close.
Everett had some really nice
athlete himself.
Yes, he is.
But maybe the point is just that I'm not sure I'm ready to make a decision on choosing between the two. The Rams may have, because they accepted Higbee, who's a superior blocker. But yeah, as long as Gerald Everett is out, I'm starting Tyler Higbee, and he's available in over 70% of leagues. A legitimate championship week addition that has nothing to do with a player, like, I guess it does. I mean, not a Mike Boone type injury addition. Like,
no.
Tyler Higbee is a legit add him, and there are people that will be focusing on tight ends this week because they always do. Daniel, what do you got?
But right. this is like another blocking
now,
right? Like, this isn't, even if you don't need a tight end, this is one of those, like, you want to block the other manager from making sure.
He shouldn't have been available in your league. I mean, we've been talking him up
He's
for
not
weeks,
available in my league. Don't look at me when you say that.
I'm just looking exactly at you, directly at you, right at you, through you, actually. I'm boring laser beams through you.
Okay, you're not that kind of superhero. It was a
that
briefcase,
would be super
all right?
Close.
It was one briefcase. Calm down with the laser beams.
A briefcase and a suit.
Yes.
And I didn't have a shield. I had a badge.
Sure.
I did have a badge.
Yeah.
I had a badge. And I had nice shoes.
Firmly established as a tight end that you should roster, not just to start, but like you could flex
elite.
Him.
Like, yes, 100%. Like, I think he is
Travis
in the
Kelce already.
He is in the Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, Waller tier. To me,
I kind of
mean at the low end of that tier?
That tier, yeah. Or there's a second tier behind
Kelce,
Ertz, Kelce, and Waller, maybe, and Kittle. I'm sorry, Ertz, Kelce, Kittle, and then a second tier.
See, I think they're all right there for me. Like, will I rank Kelce, Kittle, and Ertz higher than Higbee this week? Of course, sure. I will, especially against San Francisco.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
do
we're
I
parsing
think,
here. We're parsing here.
Exactly. My point is like if you're making who's a tight end one. He's in that conversation.
Correct. Austin Hooper, obviously there as well. He
yeah,
had
tough
a touchdown.
Game for Hunter Henry. Well, I would put him in there
sure.
too.
Yep. So 49ers yesterday, they lost to Atlanta. A very surprising upset. But Raheem Mostert, we talked about him all week being the guy that was going to be the leader in that 49ers backfield. And fortunately, Matthew, he was. Now, it wasn't a monster day for fantasy purposes, but 14 carries, 54 yards plus a touchdown, one catch for 5 yards. So double-digit fantasy points. Yep. Trust him enough that for the next 2 weeks he would be like an RB2 / high-end flex consideration?
I do. Look, he was the only 49er with 5 or more carries in this
yep.
one. He's now scored a rushing touchdown in 4 straight games. You remember that Week 6 game against the Rams when the 49ers played them the first time this season? They ran 41 times. Now, again, that offense was much more run-heavy back then than it is now where they're throwing a lot more. But if you sort of look at the snap count from yesterday's game, Raheem Mostert played 51% of the snaps.
Yep.
Kyle Juszczyk, which he's the fullback, doesn't really count, right? So he played 40%. But right, Mostert 51%, Tevin Coleman 30%, Matt Breida 19%.
Yeah, you like that part.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel, here's what I would say, is that while you wish Mostert was getting more work, you do feel confident, I feel, enough to start him. And more importantly, I think you feel confident to not have to worry about Matt Breida or Tevin Coleman.
Correct. That was the thing that I think was most encouraging. It's just that, like, you started him yesterday. You didn't get a 5-carry-for-22-yard performance that maybe cost you a chance to make the finals.
Hey, before we move on, were you going to move on to the next topic?
Sure, yeah.
Just before we move on, will you do me a favor, Daniel, just real quickly? Stefania doesn't do Mondays. She's got a lot of other work. She's chasing down all the injuries, of course, so she won't be here until Wednesday. But if I'm not on the Wednesday show, obviously, because what's that?
Be here on Friday.
She'll be here on Friday this week.
We don't have a Wednesday show.
There's no Wednesday show.
Oh, that's right. We don't have a Wednesday show this week. I'm sorry. So if you could, just do me a favor, because, I know you talk to her often about planning and everything like that. So I have a message for her that I was just hoping you could tape and record and just sort of pass on to,
She downloads and listens.
Yeah, so I'm sure she'll hear this. Just so in regards to the 49ers at home losing to a Falcons team that is
4-9.
A 4-9.
Now 5-9.
No, but a 4-9 Falcons team with a coach that's about to be fired.
Good or bad? Is that a good thing or a bad?
I just my
quality
quick,
loss
my
or
quick
no?
message to Stefania is Oh, last second.
He sounds like a hyena getting a belly rub right now.
I don't even think that was acting. Like, you could be an actor because I've seen you act and stuff. Well, I haven't. I've never actually seen the movie, but I know you do it. But
that's the grossest movie of all time. So you're like the only one that hasn't seen it.
Was he in
Avengers
Mary Poppins?
Endgame. Avengers Endgame, now available on Disney Plus. I'm a company man. Yeah. What do you got?
I thought it was Operation Dumbo Drop. But I wasn't. Ooh, apparently, I was
wow,
wrong.
Wow.
All right, so the 49ers.
Well, do you have anything else about the acting?
Was it, oh, it was just the, it was a great. It was a great
was
a, laugh.
That was a good laugh.
It was a really good laugh. I'm very proud of you.
That. So if you could just send that to Stefania, that'd be great.
So Kenyon Drake.
Yep.
Running back one for the week, and absent a brilliant performance tonight, he's going to finish that way. 39.6 fantasy points, 22 carries, 137 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 catch for 9 yards.
Should have started Kenyon Drake.
Mm-hmm-hmm. But so, you know, do we feel good about him going into the finals? Because, like, here's what I would say. Here's where I'm at on this one. Kenyon Drake is clearly the Cardinals running back that you want to, like,
dude, and we've what probably, do they do with David Johnson this offseason?
They try to trade him.
Yeah.
Obviously. And they either do a salary dump or somebody in the league does something dumb and trades a lot for a guy that's making a ton of money going forward. It's guaranteed for next year. Not smart.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, anyways, I guess, I don't know. Like, yeah, do I feel good about him in the finals against Seattle? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not sure what the analysis is. Like, yeah, it was a great game. What's the analysis here? Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, just right. I mean, it's just, it's one of those sort of fluky games. And, but yes, I mean, it, clearly solidifies his role.
And it probably already had been solidified, right?
Yeah,
100%. I mean, like, we knew that already. David Johnson's returning kicks yesterday. Like, the guy is returning kicks. You don't return kicks unless you are basically a backup or change of pace running back. And that is about it. That's where David Johnson was yesterday. Congratulations. If you started Kenyon Drake, it was enough for you to overcome something like Lamar Jackson or perhaps Christian McCaffrey or perhaps somebody else that had a monster day. Good on you.
I think what's encouraging, you know, if you have Kenyon Drake, is three of his 4 touchdowns. So it was 1 yard, 1 yard, and 5 yard. In essence, basically, and Kenyon Drake's not a guy that's ever really been used as sort of a goal line back earlier in his career. You know, he came out of college and people thought of him and the way he was used at Miami was more of a scat back, more of a third down back, kind of a big play guy, try to get him in space.
Sure.
And so the fact that they weren't scared to run him in close, and then the 4th touchdown was a 17 yarder, nice play by him, but ultimately, I think you have to be encouraged by sort of the usage. He outsnapped David Johnson 45-13 in this one and plays Seattle next week, right? So Seattle's basically been a bottom 10 defense to running backs over the last 4 weeks. Now, remember, Kenyon Drake had that brilliant debut against the 49ers. He was the second best running back in fantasy that week. Then for the next 4 weeks, weeks 10 through 14, he was running back 31 on a points per game basis. And so now he explodes again. So good match against Seattle, and I think you certainly, after that performance, I don't know how you bench him.
Right.
But I'm not ready to say, like, oh, yeah, he's a top 10 guy. He's not what David Johnson was in his prime. I think he's a solid RB2.
I don't think many are saying that he is a top 10 anyways, but just a good reminder to not overthink this too much. But if you played him yesterday, congratulations. You are in the finals. Matthew, before
we'll get into this further, but does Kenyon Drake's success do anything to damper your enthusiasm for any other Cardinals player? You likely weren't starting Kyler Murray, but you know, some deeper leagues probably were starting Kyler Murray, Christian Kirk, wide receiver 3. Is there any Cardinal you would play beyond Kenyon Drake?
I would consider Kirk, and that's it.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Before we get to our final few topics, we have Matthew talking about,
I think it's TD Ameritrade.
There you go, TD Ameritrade.
There you go. Hey, look, Field, you know that fantasy football feeling.
What is it?
When the excitement for a new week builds on
like
a Monday, like today,
yep,
you start flexing your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, trying to spot trends. Can Kenyon Drake get another 4 touchdowns, for example?
Yeah, probably.
Will Julian Edelman, you know, kill me next week against the Bills? All those kind of studying, all those kind of thoughts that run through your head as you start studying and you know, really poring over the stats and the numbers. Well, what if I told you that you could use those same skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every single day? Well, TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of the same analytical skills you use to set your lineup and play fantasy football can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money, so you can practice trading risk-free. That's what I paid Daniel in for the fantasy show, by
risk-free
the way.
Risk-free investments?
Yeah, paper money. The paper money is what I send him. Anyway, so Daniel's always practicing trading risk-free. There's charting to help you spot trends in the market. And they'll even create, get this, an investing training plan that is unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. All you got to do is visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. Once again, tdameritrade.com/fantasy and get started. Member SIPC.
I'm going to really quickly say a thing here because one of us had a really good call on Friday. And if I would just, I'd like to take everyone back in time so that we can remember what said call was.
Oh, that'll be great. That'd be fun.
YOLO. You never know what you're going to get in this person. And let's be honest. Let's say you're down 35 points in your semifinal. It's a 2-week semifinal. And you're like, listen, if I go with status quo, I'm not winning. I'm just not. I need somebody to have an atypical, a Darius Slayton-like week last week. How about the number two wide receiver in Tampa Bay? Here's the problem. We don't know which guy is the number two wide receiver in Tampa Bay. Is it Justin Watson? Is it Prashad Perriman? Is it Scotty Miller? Who knows? None of us really know for sure. So, name your Bucs wide receiver.
Prashad Perriman.
See? There you go.
Would be my guy.
So, Perriman would be my guy as well. But if you want to throw a dart, this would be the ultimate dart throw, and both of us would say, hey, give it a shot on Prashad Perriman. If he's unavailable, which is unlikely, he's probably available in your league. But, or if you want to sort of go against the grain, Justin Watson, also a reasonable play. He had a couple of touchdowns last week. And the Lions, as we've just been talking about, struggling both on offense and on defense.
Hashtag YOLO. If you're living that Field Yates life, it paid off. Rashad Perriman.
Wow.
5 for 113, 3 touchdowns.
That was awesome.
Justin Watson, not so much, but still, Rashad Perriman, 5 for 113, 3 touchdowns, 36.4 fantasy points, and more importantly, Field. So great call by you. Unbelievable. You know, one of the week if you did that. But more importantly, I think that's interesting is that if you listen to Field, and even if you decided not to play Rashad Perriman, but you just picked him up and you just grabbed him, you now have him on your roster and you're thrilled because unfortunately, after the Mike Evans injury last week, Chris Godwin leaves this game with a hamstring injury.
And Bruce Arians, I think, described it as kind of close to the Mike Evans injury. So it's a chance, a very good chance. We won't see him on Sunday. So Perriman could be the number one wide receiver for the next 2 weeks. How about the schedule? Home in both games. So weather, not really a concern in Florida.
Right.
Houston and Atlanta.
Two defenses you can throw on. I mean, look, Jameis Winston. I mean, like, it's not always pretty. Like he threw a pick, you know, to start this game once again to Detroit. And
honestly,
as the Lions started to make a comeback, you're like, oh God, is Jameis going to throw another pick six? But you talk about YOLO, baby.
He might be the player that wins the most people unexpected championships.
100%.
Because if you've been riding Jameis Winston throughout the season, you probably didn't dominate, right?
No.
But
that's right.
If you were willing to play him in the first round or the second week of the semifinals, like, there's an outstanding chance that you are winning, you're in the finals because of Jameis Winston. He's been remarkable over the past 2 weeks.
I am likely to make the finals of the War Room League. Yeah. I'm currently up 74 on Greg Jewell, great producer here at ESPN, part of our War Room League. I'm up 74 on Jewell. He's got Michael Thomas and Jacoby Brissett tonight. I've got Will Lutz.
You're making the finals.
I am likely making the finals, and the reason I bring that up is not to brag, but to mention that my quarterback is Jameis Winston. And so, like, it's been an up-and-down season for us, especially in a 16-team league. But the reason if I end up making the finals, it will be because of Jameis Winston and what he's done the last 2 weeks.
Unreal. And, Matthew, far be it for me to tell you that this can't keep up. The wide receivers going down certainly impacts things, but he throws it so much. He is the ultimate mystery ride. Rashad Perriman, as we said, available in 92% of leagues. I would be adding him this week. He is one of the top players, and though he's the second entry on this week's waiver wire column behind only the two Vikings running backs that we led the show with.
There have been only two quarterbacks this year that have had consecutive games of 32 fantasy points or more.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson and Jameis Winston, which is crazy.
Yep.
It's his fifth top five finish of the season, same as Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's just sort of mind-blowing to put him in the same conversation, but that's what it is. It's so funny that, you know, this call, the Rashad Perriman call from you, came on sort of like your YOLO call of the week, because is there more of a YOLO quarterback in the NFL than Jameis Winston?
It's him and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
That is it. All right. Put you on the spot.
But yes, but since week six, he is the third best quarterback in fantasy in terms of total points. And the other thing I'll just say, just as we're sort of previewing your waiver column real quickly, is that we'll see maybe Scotty Miller. He left this game earlier as well. We'll see if Justin Watson has, we'll see what goes on with the pass catchers. But suddenly, I think maybe O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate become more viable against the Texans.
Howard barely played again yesterday.
No, I know,
so
but they're running out of pass catchers.
I know.
They can't run the ball. They're going to throw. Yes, sir.
On the spot here. If you had, I don't think you have any leagues where you're in the finals with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. But if you did, you playing him next week?
Am I playing Aaron Rodgers next week at Minnesota? No.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was quarterback 20 on the week right now.
My board bet with you about him finishing as a top 12 quarterback, not looking that good. I'm not ready to concede it yet because there's always a chance that eight quarterbacks will have stat corrections.
Correct.
And he moves up.
You cannot. That's correct. You cannot.
So we'll wait till it's to be official, but it's not looking great for me right now.
Correct. Aaron Rodgers is under 250 passing yards in six straight games. I wonder if he's ever done that before in his career. He has just not been. He and Tom Brady are outstanding quarterbacks, and they could well lead deep, deep playoff runs. But this year for fantasy, they have not been viable enough to be a starter. Couple of topics here to put the books, to close the books on the show. Carlos Hyde, and a player who's actually kind of like him. Carlos Hyde, 16.4 fantasy points yesterday, Matthew. One of his best games of the season. 26 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown. So sort of a good news, bad news thing here, right? Because if you played him yesterday and he was started in 23.3% of leagues, you got 16.4 fantasy points. And yet, this was an awesome game, and he only got 16.4 fantasy points, right? Like,
he's not
two and a half points more than Boston Scott. Yeah. Who, like, no one's talking about the Boston Scott game yesterday. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's fine. It's a touchdown-dependent flex play.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
he is. And it, you know
not
what he
involved
got
in the passing game.
A touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. He's not involved in the passing game, and, you know, it's a pass-first offense.
Yeah.
This is one of those things, like, yeah, does he fall into the end zone, which he did yesterday. I mean, it was a longer, it wasn't, you know, a one-yard carry, but still, it's just one of those things. It's like, okay, yeah, he's a flex play.
Yeah, he's a flex play. He's kind of like, without the accolades, but in terms of fantasy value right now, he's like Adrian Peterson,
right?
Who was started in 17% of leagues. He's available in 45. 16 for 66 and a touchdown.
And I believe he broke.
He tied Walter Payton for the fourth most rushing touchdowns of all time on that same exact carry. This is actually kind of cool. He became tied. Who was it? Somebody. I apologize for not knowing right offhand which other tremendous rusher it was. Walter Payton, maybe Barry Sanders. No, maybe not Barry Sanders. Anyways.
Barry Sanders.
He moved up to fourth all-time in rushing touchdowns.
He's already passed Jim Brown.
Fifth all-time in rushing yards. I don't know. I have it on my Twitter somewhere. Right. At Field DH. You can find that.
You find that while I'll just finish up the thought on Carlos Hyde, which is, even though this is a...
Well, it ties to Peterson, I think, at the same
that,
time.
Yeah, that as well, right? So, just whatever. Carlos Hyde's at Tampa Bay next week.
Yep.
So, your road game against a pretty good run defense, it's like... Again, he is a hope he scores flex kind of thing. I actually would feel better about Adrian Peterson, right? Because with no Darius Geis, it's going to be the Adrian Peterson show. He got 19 touches yesterday. And then you look at his upcoming schedule, home to the Giants in week 16, and then at the Cowboys. And neither of those are run defenses that scare you. I mean, even in a game in which the Rams got blown out by Dallas last week,
right?
Todd Gurley still scored twice. You know, one was a pass that, Peterson's not going to do that route, but like you could run on Dallas and he'll certainly get the volume. He is similar to Carlos Hyde in that he is a touchdown dependent flex because he's not that involved in the passing game, although he did catch three balls yesterday. But still, look, he scored in three straight.
Yep.
The Redskins offense has been competent. It's not great. It's not setting the world on fire, but it has improved. And certainly Bill Callahan loves
to
run the ball. And so, you know, certainly against the Giants this week, I think he's a viable flex.
So the stats that I was trying to spit out in one fell swoop was that on the same carry yesterday, Adrian Peterson tied Walter Payton for the fourth most rushing touchdowns of all time and tied Curtis Martin for the fifth most rushing yards of all time. So an exemplary career. And I think it was Kevin O'Connell, who's the offensive coordinator for the Redskins, who I think I saw the quote from him basically saying, I can't remember who it came from. I apologize for that like he's the most consistent player we have, like in terms of his preparation and everything. So Adrian Peterson is a guy that, despite his age, continues to be, I mean, he is a genetic outlier.
I was just going to say he's a freak of nature.
Yes,
he is a human freak of nature and continues to defy all logic. And I will tell you that I know just in general, that he is beloved in that locker room.
He sure is. That much was evident. Part of the reason why there's a good chance he is back next year, even if Darius Geis is fully healthy. The Redskins love and respect Adrian Peterson. We love and respect Matthew, which is why we're going to give him time for his promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
As we've seen before, moments make a difference in fantasy, whether it was, you know, picking up somebody like a, I'm trying to think of a good example, like, you know, Tyler Higbee, right? People being able to be, you know, get to the waiver wire to pick up people like Tyler Higbee.
Rashad Perriman this week.
Last week, 2 weeks ago, DeAndre Washington, when Josh Jacobs, like, the Fantasy Life app is 100% free. And I think the community is great. And I would highly encourage you to try to get in the community. And if you want instant feedback on trades or start sit decisions or just have fun talking about fantasy football, I think you would love the community. But even if you never open the app, the alerts are so amazing. I am telling you, there's a reason we're at 4.8 stars on iOS and 5 stars on Android. Again, it's a 100% free app. I have no idea why you wouldn't download it, put it onto your phone, because the worst thing is that you don't like it and then you can delete it in 3 days. There's no risk. No risk it, no risk it. Come on. FantasyLifeApp.com. See why so many people swear by it. Reddit doesn't like anything. And Reddit actually likes this app, right? There's Reddit threads dedicated to like how good this app is. And like Reddit hates me, but they're like, they hate me, but they'll be like, you know what? But his app is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, anyway, I'm just telling you, like.
I don't mean it personally when I say that on there.
Oh, okay.
It's not like
it's just right. It's just me as a fantasy analyst. Fair enough.
I think you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Just, you know. I certainly appreciate that. Anyway, fantasylifeapp.com to download it once again for free. It's 100% free, by the way. It's not some bait and switch where you download it for free and then all of a sudden we're asking you for money.
$3.99 charge.
100%. Yeah. 100% free.
Quick question. Every Monday night, Matthew does the hashtag Monday Night Miracle Field. I'm just wondering if you need anything tonight.
I do. And you'll find it on Twitter at Field Yates.
At Field Yates.
Yeah. At Field Yates on Twitter.
Some say it's their favorite tweet of the week, so get ready
for
it.
There you
go. Yeah.
I need Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and Chase McLaughlin to score less than 50 points combined.
That's possible.
Kamara, and McLaughlin in order to beat Tillian from Dance Gavin Dance and the crappy bands you've never heard of league.
Okay.
Well, I need to beat Miles Teller in the Agbo Superhero League. I basically need Michael Thomas to get 2 carries, 2 end sweeps, and to fumble on both of them.
Okay.
And then to leave the game and never play again. I'm down 3. I'm down 3. I'm done. And he's got Michael Thomas. So that's what I need. I need Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
To get -4.
He's going to pull a Vontae Davis at halftime. Vontae retired halftime.
How good would that be?
It'd be amazing.
So, right? What do you think my chances are for the best player in fantasy?
I'd imagine at least.
Getting a -4.
I'm going to check the Watson right now, IBM Watson. At least a 2.2% chance.
Yeah, exactly.
2.3%
chance.
There you go. There you have it.
Anyway, follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Field Yates. Follow Daniel on Twitter at Daniel Dopp and on the gram at something to break. Keith is at Keith Lipscomb on Twitter. Kyle is at Kyle Soppe, S-O-P-P-E, ESPN, at Kyle Soppe, ESPN on the Twitter. I am at Matthew Berry, TMR, on all forms of social media, including TikTok. But on the Fantasy Life app, I am merely at Matthew Berry. All right. So for all of us here, new episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus coming up later today. But for all of us here, peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Haynesworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.